Who are you? Everyone has an answer to that question, and it makes all the difference in the world. This is the second in our series of messages about just basic worldview questions. Where did everything come from, and now what is man? And Lord, really next week, what is our purpose? But what is man? What is my true identity? How am I made? Who am I? Our culture has a massive identity crisis. We don't know who we are anymore. There are some people who are marrying their pets. I kid you not. There's even a website, Marry Your Pet. A recent headline read this, this is why I choose to marry myself and live as a proud polygamist. Have you ever heard that term before? Marrying yourself. Parents have to hear their children claim, or their sons claim, well, I'm a daughter now. Or their daughters claim that I'm a son. Or I identify as an Asian, even though I'm not Asian. Or a Viking, or even a cat. We don't know who we are anymore. In fact, there was a man who was pretending to be a woman who recently said, I want to have a uterus transplanted so that I can be the first transgender woman to have an abortion. That's wrong at so many levels. But we don't know who we are anymore. Did you know that in a survey last year of high school students, 22% of them have seriously considered suicide? 18% have made a plan. 10% have attempted it at least once. The second leading cause of death between those aged 10 and 34 is suicide. We don't know who we are anymore, and it shows. We don't know why we're here anymore, and it shows. So who are we? This is madness. We have forgotten who we are. We are fighting against our created purpose, and we are losing badly. So who are we? What is mankind? What are we really like? Most in our culture hear this, well, we're just complex machines. That's all we really are. We are highly evolved animals, and that's all that we are. We're the product of an unguided process of evolution over million and billions of years. That's who we are. We're cosmic dust with no purpose. Man is simply the victory in the evolutionary struggle to exist. That's all we are. There is no meaning and purpose beyond that. Survival of the fittest. Our job is to be the best and to kill the rest, to pass on our superior genes to the next generation. But now there's a new way of constructing your identity in a meaningless world. We no longer look to God for our identity or our purpose or for who we are or what we're supposed to be doing. We're not going to let the Creator tell us what we were created for. No, we're going to define ourselves horizontally. By the different groups that we can associate with. This is called postmodernism or intersectionality. But individuals define themselves in according to this network of subgroups. You know, these are my groups, my shared groups of oppression. And I won't get into all the details. But we define ourselves by how many different groups of oppression we can identify with, or we have to repent of our privilege of being born in other groups that have privilege. And that's how we define ourselves. No, none of it is right. We are made in the image of God. We are created by Him to bear His image, to mirror and reflect the glory of who He is, to be something like Him. Last week we talked about the mighty power of God in creation. He spoke and it was. The stunning splendor of God's creation. And now we turn our focus onto really the crown of His creation. Us, mankind, made in the very image of God. So we shift our gaze from the creation in general to man in particular. And that's exactly what David was doing in Psalm 8. And let me read part of that right now. You can almost picture David watching over his flocks at night on a cool night, no clouds, the stars are clear and you can see a lot more clouds when there isn't light pollution. Or not more clouds, more those stars. And David was gazing upon the magnificence of God's creation. And he said this: "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him?" So in light of this stunning beauty of all of creation, the intricacy of what God has made, or the magnitude, the magnificence of all that God has made, Adam is comparing himself to the rest of creation, or not Adam, David, and saying, well, why does God care for me? Look at the world. Look at the universe. Look at the stars, the planets, the galaxies. How important can I be in the midst of all this? Why am I so small and so seemingly insignificant? And David, thinking out in the darkness at night, gazing upon the creation, this is what he came up with. Why does God care for him? Why is he so significant? Well, God has put him in charge of everything, of his entire creation. You are in charge of everything that God has made. You are to steward, to care for, to appreciate, to nurture God's creation. Just as David saw himself as the ruler over his sheep, I'm ruler over the moon and the stars and the planets and all of creation and every animal that exists. That's what God has given me to do. We are the crowning achievement of God's creation. Do you think of yourself that way? On the sixth day when men and women were created, God said not only that it was good, like he did on every other day of the week, but on the sixth day he said, it is very good. It is very good. This is the crowning achievement. That's why he saved it to last. Saved his best for last. Man and woman made in the very image of God as his representatives in creation itself. It says further on in Romans or in Psalm 8, yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. Well, what is that glory and honor? You have given him dominion over the work of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, than the spiritual beings, and a little above the earthly beings. The creatures that roam the earth were in between the physical and the spiritual somehow. Plus that word translated heavenly beings, the word is actually Elohim. And it could be translated heavenly beings or angels, but could be God himself. But it's a picture of us. We are physical and spiritual beings. We're not just of the earth. We're not just earthly. We're not just physical creatures. Romans tells us, if you set your mind upon the flesh, it is death. But if you set your mind upon the spirit, it is life and peace. Most of the problems that we have as humans come from believing that we are only flesh, that we are only animals, that there is no spiritual dimension to who we are. We have denied God, and therefore we have denied almost the entire spiritual world. So what else is there than to indulge the flesh? And if we are disappointed with what our flesh is feeding upon, well, why not just end it all? Because nothing really matters. We are crowned with glory and honor. How? We rule over the work of God's hands. We are stewards of God's creation. He has placed all things under our feet. We must, in other words, care for the created order. We're in charge. You know, when you see pollution out there in the world, God's creation being marred and poisoned and destroyed, your first reaction is somebody did a bad thing, instead of that's my responsibility. I'm to care for the earth. We as humans are to care for the earth. So grow a garden. Don't throw your trash into the street. Basic things. When we were traveling in North Georgia in the mountains, there was these scenic turnoffs as you take a drive through the mountains. And you can see the valleys and the mountains, and it's just a stunning, beautiful sight. So if you look out there, it's just stunning. But then we pulled off and looked down, and someone thought it was wise to dump a whole truckload of trash right there. just household trash. And at first I thought, man, I'm mad at those people. Doesn't that make you mad when people throw things out the window? You know, when somebody's in the highway and throws things out the window, you honk, don't you? Just makes you mad. But I thought about it a little bit. You know what they're doing? They're hurting themselves. They're denying who they are as made in the image of God. They're denying their task to take care of the earth that God has created and given to us. They're hurting themselves. They're lost. They don't know who they are. So they throw trash out the window. Then I thought a little more. I says, well, not only am I mad at those people, but I'm mad at us. My brothers and sisters, my fellow creatures made in the image of God, because we're blowing it. We're not bearing the image of God well. We're not bearing our responsibility well. We don't take care of the earth very well at all, do we? We don't even take care of ourselves. We're failing in our created purpose. And then you read in Hebrews chapter 2, for it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, Psalm 8, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, to who? To Jesus, he left nothing outside of his control. Yet at present, we don't see everything under his control. Jesus is the perfect man. Jesus is fulfilling this responsibility to care for creation, if I could put it that way. He's a steward of all that God has made. And he's doing it right. And he's going to redo it right as well. He's going to craft or reform or reshape a new heavens and a new earth. This responsibility to care for God's creation will be fulfilled in Jesus. He is the one who cares for the earth. He is the perfect man. He is the one who images God perfectly. He is the one who shows us how to image God, how to reflect him, how to glorify him. What is this whole process of sanctification that we're in the middle of? We're striving to be more like Jesus. Why? Because he perfectly reflects God. He bears the image of God well. He fulfills our created purpose perfectly. And if we want to know how to do it, we need to look to Jesus. We need to look to Jesus for this thing, for everything. This meditation that David is having as he's out in the field staring at the moon and the stars, it really is a meditation also on Genesis chapter 1. Let us make man in our own image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, or him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over everything that moves on the ground. God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth. And then there's somebody skipped to the end. And behold, it was very good. And there was evening and the morning, the sixth day. So who are we? We've forgotten who we are, but how can we be reminded? Well, we are made in the very image of God, in the very likeness of God himself. We were made to know and enjoy God. And for many people, that's like saying, why don't you come over to my house? We're having a party and we're going to have asparagus. Real asparagus with rutabagas. I don't even know what rutabagas are, but that's not very appealing, is it? Because we don't know how good asparagus can be. We're not attracted to God because we don't know him. We don't know what he is like. And because we don't know God, we don't know what he is like. We don't know who we are because we're made in his very image. So when I say to people, you're made in the image of God, and it doesn't register, it's because they don't know God. You're made in the image of God. You're made to reflect him. You're made to draw attention to him. You're made to delight in him. And we are given dominion to rule like God does over his creation. We are to nurture it, to mature it, to draw out its full potential. We were made male and female together in the image of God. We were made to reflect God together. We were made to subdue and rule over the earth together as man and woman. Both. Some people describe this as we were made man and woman in a unity and diversity type thing. We're one and yet we're not exactly the same, just like the Trinity is. We're made in the image of God. We're made to reflect Him. Man and woman, just like Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they have different roles, different functions, but they're equal. They're equal in power and glory. And so is man and woman. We're both made in the image of God to glorify Him together. We were made to multiply the image of God all over the earth. Have you ever been to a communist or a dictatorship type country, and you see these images up all over the place of their sovereign ruler with a big smile? He's everywhere. In one sense, that's what we're to be doing. We're to be multiplying the image of our Father in heaven all over the place by what we do and by the families that we raise. We're to multiply the image of God on the earth. We're to subdue the creation for the glory of God. We're to rule it under Him. That's what we're here for. We have the ability to explore the wonders of God's creation, to unearth its mysteries, to maximize its potential. That's what we're here for. We are not what we think we are. We can't make it up as we go along. We can't suddenly decide, I'm just an animal. That's not who we are. We have been created by God to be what He said, and we have been made with a purpose and with a task and with a destiny that we have forgotten. And that's why we're so confused. God doesn't fit into the equation that we have made for ourselves. And so we are lost and we are confused. We are made in the very image and likeness of God. That is who we are. We picture, we image, we reflect the glory of God. That's what we're made for. We're to commune with Him. We're made like God in some significant ways. We're not God, but we're like Him. And we all have inherent dignity and worth. Not because of what we do, but because of who we are, because of how we were created. Everyone, every human made in the image of God is valuable, is precious. Even the broken, if I can put it this way, even the vile, they still bear the image of God. And they have dignity as image bearers of God. We are not like animals, and we shouldn't marry them. Did you ever think that you'd have to hear that from a Christian pulpit, that we shouldn't marry animals? But we got to say it today because we've forgotten who we are. Because our mind is set upon the flesh only. We don't think of anything else. We don't think of ourselves as anything greater than animals. Many people have forgotten this too. You must marry only believers. Don't be unequally yoked. Or that sex is for marriage exclusively. We, being made in the image of God and the likeness of God, we are made to be friends with God. We're made to know Him, to associate with Him, to communicate with Him, to know Him, to love Him, to reflect Him. And the red carpet is rolled out for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know God? Look at me, He says. You want to know God? Come to me. You want to flee from your brokenness and your vileness? Come to me. The red carpet is rolled. He is the way to the Father. He perfectly images and reflects His Father. To see Him is to see the Father. There are so many people who are still trying to find themselves. Why? Because they have lost this relationship with God. So they don't know who they are. They don't know what we're here for. They don't know this image that they're bearing. They don't know their purpose because they've cut God out of the equation. And we are also to nurture and to enjoy relationships with other people that bear the image of God. We were made for community. It is not good for the man to be alone. We were made to know one another. Not just to be loosely acquainted or have a business-like relationship with them. We were made to know them and to be known by them at a far more intimate level than we typically do. We were made to know other image bearers. My last vacation, I think I told you this already, I had a really good vacation. I saw the ocean. I saw the mountains. I saw a sunrise. I saw waterfalls. I saw a stunning rainbow, and I could say of it all, it was good. But I spent that time with my wife and with my son, and I could say it was very good. Would you like to have an all-expense-paid trip to the Great Wall of China, and you have to go alone? You know, have you ever said, no, I don't want to go because I don't want to go alone? You know, wouldn't mean as much because I'm going alone. We were made for community. We were made for one another. We were made to be social, communicable beings in community with one another. We were made to really know one another. Every human being you meet is better than a waterfall, better than a sunset. Do you believe me? Well, God does, right? The whole creation is good, but the creation of man and woman is very good. There are more treasures. There's more of the image and the glory of God to be seen in other people than there is in all creation. So then what's the exhortation here? Invest yourself in other people and allow other people to see you, to see the real you made in the image of God, the real you walking in the glory of this God with him. Let them see you. Let them know you. The crowning achievement of all of God's creation is men and women made in his image. The greatest work of God is other people. Especially his greatest work is in redeeming them. But we should stand in stunned amazement at other people because they bear the image of God. Many of you don't know a lot about the Night to Shine. It's a foundation started by Tim Tebow for the broken. It's like prom night for those who are forgotten by most of the world. Those who have special needs. And when they gather together, they're crowned. And they're celebrated. And they're cheered. Why? Because they're made in the image of God. That's the whole foundation of the entire event. That everyone is made in the image of God and is king, are kings and queens because they're made in the image of God. They're to be valued and celebrated and cheered. Why? Because they're made in the image of God. And that's a glorious thing, to see it happen. And for every one person who comes to the prom, there are two people who are helping. Two, what I call, less visibly broken people. They're still broken. They still don't bear the image of God perfectly. They're still handicapped in countless ways. Everyone who helps them, but they're helping them. They're celebrating the image of God in other people. And when they, as quote-unquote normal, are celebrating the quote-unquote broken, they are never more beautiful than when they are serving them. They're never more obviously reflecting God than when they're serving others. When we serve, we shine. Why? Because they're made in the image of God. And we're all made in the image of God, and that is to be celebrated and delighted in. Other side of the coin. When you bully, when you denigrate, when you belittle, when you whine, when you complain against anyone, for almost for any reason that is made in the image of God, you are attacking God. Well, that's putting it rather bluntly. Well, it is. Think about it a little bit. Think about that when you go through the season of negative politics, when one side is just viciously attacking the other all the time. Got to get their negatives up so people won't vote for them. Let's attack them on anything, on everything. Think of that with your disagreements with other people. Yeah, there might be a legitimate case here or there, but they're made in the image of God. Are you treating them like that? Think about the conflicts that you have within your own family, the grudges that you still hold against others. They're made in the image of God. Does that factor into your relationship at all? Or into your desire to reconcile with them? They bear the image of God. They are precious, broken perhaps, but valuable. And we are to multiply the image of God and to fill the earth. Well, how do we do that? Get married and have kids. Yes. Get married and have lots of kids. Yeah, sure. But multiply the image of God. in other people, even if they're not part of your family. What do I mean by that? Evangelize. Remind people of who they are, how they were made, and how they are being remade or can be remade in the Lord Jesus Christ. Multiply the image of God. It doesn't have to be your kids and grandkids, although that's delightful when it is, but it can be your neighbors and your friends. Multiply the image of God in them. Remind them of who they are. Tell them how things got messed up and how Jesus has come to fix it. Remind them of who they are as created and what they can be as recreated in the image of God. Men and women, children, cannot live without God. Well, they can live in the denial of the God that is truly there, but they cannot live without God. What do I mean by that? Where does oxygen and food and water come from? Oh, just the natural order. God created the heavens and the earth. In him we live and we move and have our being. When people live in denial of God, and denial of how they were created, God is still sustaining them. God is still upholding them. They cannot live without God. And people who do try to live without God, they are the walking dead. Quite literally, they're the walking dead. They don't know who they are, don't know where they came from, don't know why they're here, don't know where they're going. And to them, it doesn't matter. They have forgotten who they are, and they're fighting against their own created glory. Now, let me just give you rapid fire some implications of what it means to be made in the image of God. Some of this is repeat. It's a massive subject. But we were made by the triune God to know him, to glorify, to enjoy him, and to love him. That is the central meaning and purpose of life, is to know God, to set your mind upon the Spirit, and if you do so, all is life and joy and peace. We were made as persons by a personal God. We have a personality. We were made to relate to other people. We were made ultimately to relate with God. But we were made to commune with other people, to really know them at a deep level. And we were made very good. We were made without sin. But Ecclesiastes 7:29 says this, God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. The full image of God is tarnished and greatly weakened by the fall. That's why our relationships with others are so hard, because we're both broken. That's why our relationship with God is so hard, because one of us is broken. We were made, surprise, surprise, different from the animals. We are not animals merely. We were made in the image of likeness of God. So you shouldn't marry your cat. And you shouldn't treat your children or your pets better than your children. Every human being from the moment of conception has inherent dignity. Not because of what they can do, not because of their potential, but because that they're made in the very image of God. Everyone. The youngest, the oldest, the weakest, the frailest, they're made in the image of God. There was a homeless man that we ministered to this week. He's made in the image of God with inherent dignity. And so we treated him that way as much as we could. But he needs to believe in himself. We were made to know right from wrong. And we were made to exercise faith and love in all of our actions. We had true knowledge of God. We had moral righteousness and holiness. We know right from wrong. We were made to explore the creation, to steward the creation, to maximize the potential of the creation. We were made to create culture. We were made to engage the culture, to build a society with other people, ideally one that glorifies God. We are to start and to grow and to maintain good, godly relationships with other people made in the image of God. We're to invest our time and our lives in other people. We're to lay down our lives for them because they're made in the image of God. We were made in a family to create more families, to multiply the image of God. We were made to work, to produce, to create, to explore, to accomplish. So get off the couch. We were made by God, and then God spoke to us. He didn't do this with anything else in all of his creation. But when he made us in his very image, he spoke to us. Huh. Why did God speak to us? Well, we were made to be dependent upon him. Maybe if I could put it more literally, we were made to be dependent upon the word of God. So he spoke to us. He spoke to us telling us who we were and what we were supposed to be doing. He spoke to us because we are unique. He spoke to us because we're supposed to relate to him. We're supposed to know him. We're supposed to submit to him. We're supposed to delight in him. We're supposed to be able to speak back to him. The wonderful counselor comes to us and defines our identity and purpose. So what does it mean to image God, to reflect him, to glorify him? It is to make the Creator God visible in this world through what you say and do. We make the glory of God visible in this world by what we say and do. We're to image and reflect the glory of God. How do we do that? We'll maintain fellowship with God. Keep short accounts with God. Speak to him all the time. Listen to him all the time. It's the very stuff of life. Follow him as your Lord and Savior. Submit to God's delegated authority at home and in the church and in the civil society. Build godly culture. That's how you image God. Grow godly relationships. Produce art. Produce music. Do engineering, doctoring, counseling, preaching that glorifies God. Work for true justice in the world. Love God above all and your neighbor as yourself. Deepen your relationships with other believers in the church. Serve for the glory of God. Apply the word of God to every area of your life. Respect and honor all human life, even the broken and even the vile. The sick, the elderly, the weak, the broken, the difficult, the challenged, they're all made to reflect the glory of God. Maybe this is one most people need to hear. Don't isolate yourself. You weren't meant to be alone. You weren't meant to live life unknown. You were supposed to be known and to know others. Invest in other image bearers. Spend time with them. Cut down on personal entertainment when you're all alone and build relationships, build community. God created us in his own image with perfect righteousness, holiness, and knowledge. I'm quoting here. To serve him as king, priest, and prophet by subduing the entire universe to his glory as the way in which man's greatness as God's image was to be manifested. What are you really longing for? You are longing to be known by one who has perfect knowledge. You are longing to be loved by one who is the perfect lover. You would long to be in a relationship with one who does it right. That's what God has offered us from the very beginning. I have made you. You are mine. You are my son. You are my daughter. Come to me and you will know life. Set your heart and mind upon the Spirit. For if you set your mind upon the Spirit, it is life and joy and peace. God has created us for that very purpose. And we can know him. And he is far better than asparagus. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it is joy to know you. In fact, it is life to know you. In fact, it is eternal life to know you. And you have made us, Lord, like yourself, to relate to you and to other image bearers, to lay down our lives for the glory of God that is hidden in others, to draw out their potential and their greatness. Lord, teach us to reflect that glorious image that you have placed within us, to commune with you and to commune with others. And we thank you that you've sent the Lord Jesus Christ to show us how to do it right, to show us how to love, to show us how to live, to show us even, Lord, how to nurture the earth. Lord, help us to be good stewards of all the gifts that you have given us and to love others because you have first loved us. And in so doing, Lord, help us to bear your image and to reflect your glory well. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.